Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When you think of our Lord Jesus Christ, what immediately comes to mind for you? Friend, brother, Savior, friend of sinners, Messiah, action hero. Wait a minute. Action hero? Maybe not immediately, but when you hear today's gospel from John chapter 2, you might think action hero. I know I can think of Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom. Jesus has got the whip. He's overturning the tables. He's pouring out the coins. He's driving out the sheep and the oxen and the money changers. He's putting his foot down. He's cleaning house. He's taking names. He acts like he owns the place, as if he's the Son of God or something. My translation even says, I'll be back. It says it right there in the text. Did you hear it? I'll be back. Well, close, but not quite. He actually says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. See? I'll be back. The temple Jesus was talking about wasn't the temporary temple, not the walls and the roof of the structure in which he was standing. He meant the eternal temple. His own body. Destroy this temple, this flesh and blood, and he himself will raise it up in 3 days. He was talking about the final Passover, the day from Good Friday to Easter Sunday, the cross and the empty tomb. I'll be back. The Jews in the text didn't get it. They said, it took us 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days. Jesus doesn't answer them with words. He answers them with deed. He who has eyes to see, let him see what becomes of this eternal temple. We should also note that it wasn't just the Jews that didn't understand this. The disciples also didn't get it until after the resurrection. Then they got it. Then they said, aha, that's what he was talking about. He was talking about his body. Then they believed the word and the scripture that Jesus spoke. And I think from all this, we can begin to understand here why Jesus was so zealous in this text, to have a clean, money-free temple. Why did he bring a whip? Why did he do this during Passover? What does this mean? Well, the temple in Jerusalem was a shadow or a reflection of who Jesus is. But the reflection needs to be an accurate reflection, or else people will be confused and get the wrong impression of God. God wants us to know and understand him rightly, to know who he is in the right way. Now remember that the temple was originally understood as a place for sacrifice. But that meant that you needed to have something to sacrifice. And because there was a need, the temple also became a place where you would actually buy a sacrifice. You would have to buy your sheep or your pigeons if you were poor, or your oxen if you were rich. And then someone had to be in charge of selling the sheep and the oxen and the pigeons. They're called the money changers. And someone also had to collect the tax that God demanded in Exodus chapter 30, and people would bring it to the temple during Passover as a fulfillment of the law. And herein lies the problem. Whenever you have sinful men and women serving as money changers, there is temptation to sin. Now, I'll use my grandma as an example. Now, thanks be to God, my grandma never extorted money. But whenever my parents left town, she would watch over my brother and I. And she would set us down at the table, and oftentimes my parents would leave a bag of candy. And my grandma would distribute the candy to us like this. I apologize to all those who listen to this on the web later on. They won't see this, but if you can think that every other you is a different person, that might help. So she would distribute candy like this. Here, Brother Travis, one for you, one for me, Grandma, one for you, Brother Derek, one for me, Grandma, one for you, Brother Travis, one for me, Grandma. You get the picture. Grandma got twice as much candy than everybody else did. And I didn't realize this until I was older. My grandma taught me everything I ever knew about gambling. Greedy grandma. But not just greedy grandma, greedy me. And greedy you. And greedy Bernard Madoff this week in the news, right? Well, money changers, all of us sinners, have a way of making money the central thing in our lives. The central thing that is served and loved. Now, the temple was looking more like a bank than a place of God's presence. And that's not a good reflection of God. That's not a good reflection of who God is. God is not a bank. Money, in fact, gets so central sometimes that is the thing that causes divisions in couples and in families and in churches. Why? Not because the money itself is evil or sinful, but we are. Because even if we think that we are all righteous, and even if we think we're good stewards of God's money, and even if we think we're doing God's work, then we are not truly honest about our motives and our thirst for control. Jesus says, you'll either love the one and hate the other, or you'll love the other and hate the one, but you cannot serve God and mammon. As sinners, we cannot really please God by the way we handle money. Now, we should strive to be good stewards, and out of love for others, do good things. Maybe that always be the case with our money. But if we think we can truly please God with our money, then remember the rich man who asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, go and sell everything you own, and then come follow me. And obviously the rich man thought that Jesus set the bar too high because he went home sad, went home in despair. Maybe he doubted the Son of Man. But the problem is he didn't get it. You cannot serve God and mammon. Never. It's not possible. What you can do, however, is be honest with God and cry, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And God forgives your sin. God helps you to live confident that all your sins, even with money, and all our selfish motives are forgiven you, past, present, and future. Above all, you live not by good stewardship with the Son of God. You live by faith in the Son of God, and with whom you are one through baptism. You live in Him. Therefore, now live honest with God as you deal with this sinful world. Like trying to decide, should I go ahead and buy a nice big flat screen TV and help stimulate our struggling economy? Or should I go on that really nice vacation? Well, that actually will help the economy, won't it? Or should I give more to God's mission, to the church, to the school? Or should I give to the church in Russia who has great needs? Or the many, many, many good needs around the U.S. and abroad for mercy and God's care here and abroad? Let's be honest. And realize that in all our decisions and trying to please God and others, that we need to cry out in the end, Lord, have mercy. And trust that God's mercy covers even us. Now, back to Jesus and the temple as a picture of who Jesus really is. If the temple of God becomes mainly a place where one has to buy a sacrifice or learn how to manage money, then that is a wrong picture of who Jesus is. The Word of God teaches us today that the temple of God, God's house, is not a place of trade. Rather, it should be known first and foremost as the place where one comes and buys a sacrifice without money, without paying anything. When Jesus comes into the temple, the money changers all need to be driven out because he is here, God's sacrifice. The Lamb has entered the building. Please stop all other attempts and efforts at making peace with God. Jesus is here. Get out, you money changers. Leave your purses and your wallets at home. Ushers, get out of here with those awful offering plates. We don't need you because Jesus is here. We're not selling salvation anymore. We never were in the first place. I've got good news for all the church families, Roger, and all the school families. No more fundraisers. Thanks to all the volunteers, but no more scripts. Collect no more box tops. This house is now and forevermore a house of prayer where God hears and listens and forgives without price. Jesus is here. You can't buy that with money. Don't think that your membership in this house means that you need to pay for your part. Jesus paid the price for your pew. Don't believe me? Well, fine. But he's got a whip, and he means business. He is zealous that the house of God be one where we realize that he brings the rightness, the righteousness of God. He buys our salvation with his own precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He has purchased and won us, lost and condemned creatures, without any merit or worthiness in us. All we do here first is cry out, "Lord, have mercy on me," and receive it with thanks. Now you can let the ushers come back in. And I hope you didn't tear up all your offering envelopes just quite yet. Because God's mission and ministry is worthy of our money. Worth our sacrifice of time, talents, and treasures. Worth every bit of it and more. The fundraisers should be fun and help do many good things in Jesus' name. God's word teaches us to do these things with a cheerful heart, and we should. We give to God and our neighbor out of love, don't we? We give because we've been given to. We don't give enough, God knows, but God gave all of that and more so that you would be sure that you have been bought back, redeemed, and that you would love and not be scared, come what may, from this passing world. In God's word today, hear the zeal and might of Jesus, driving out sin from the temple, defeating the false idolatry of money, overturning our pride, pouring out our worthless merit. And as he says, all that is necessary instead is to have faith in this. Tear down this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Instead, remember that you are one with Christ Jesus, the temple of God. This means that your bodies, too, are temples, a place where God dwells. He dwells with each of us with his Spirit. So glorify God with your temple. Offer your life as a living sacrifice to God and to your neighbor. In a word, love. Kids, if you have 2 iPods, share it with the one who has none. If you have enough food for 20 people, maybe you can spare one meal for someone else through Second Harvest. And don't worry, finally, if someone or something destroys your temple before you turn 120. Remember that God has raised up our Lord Jesus Christ, and God will raise you up. This is most certainly true. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.